There are people today who sit in churches just like this one and hear the word of God, and yet they still reject him. These people hear, but they do not accept God's message of salvation through Jesus.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is The Visit of the Wise Men, Part 2, and was recorded live at Grand Community Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
Matthew chapter 2, verses 2 through 8, and this is the visit of the wise men part 2. This is the visit of the wise men part 2. So let's all please turn to that in our Bibles, and let's please stand in holy reverence to the reading of God's word. And like I said, we're going to go through chapter 2, verses 2 through 8. So we have a little bit of reading here to do. I'm reading now the ESV today, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him.'" Heavenly Father, we pray, O God, that you will bless us here today, that you will open our hearts that we may receive from your word today, God, and that we may carry it forth from this place to others, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we are still with the wise men, aren't we? And we are learning a lot of wisdom, aren't we? Old Herod is up to a little trick, isn't he? He is trying to find out where Jesus is, not so that he can worship him, but so that he can what? So that he can kill him. But he's not telling the wise men this, is he? No, no, no. He's acting like he's excited about this, but when he hears the news, he's troubled. He's troubled because he knows that he is a fake king, and he is worried that the real king is coming on the scene. So as you guys remember in this book that we're going through, the wise men saw the star. That was the sign that Jesus had been born. And so they knew by studying the scriptures that Jesus, the Messiah, had come into the world. And they knew enough that they needed to go worship him. And so now they're looking for Jesus, and so is Herod. And so now we have a stage that is set that's almost as good as some of the blockbuster movies that we see today. Amen? Now, there are those who speak of love, and yet their actions are filled with evil. I'm sure that you've all encountered someone like that. They speak one way and they do another. Herod was not only a fake king, he was a liar and a deceiver of the people. His record showed pride, while Jesus's record showed humility. And today we're going to learn a little bit more about the differences between Herod and Jesus, and how to come to Jesus with reverence versus contempt. Amen. Seeking the true king is my first point in Matthew 2, verses 2 through 4. We read, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him, and assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Now, the reason why that's so important is because they weren't looking for Jesus. But when they heard about Jesus, he had enough sense to realize that Jesus could be a threat to him as king of the Jews. Herod had propped himself up as king, remember? So he's calling his scribes, he's calling his priests to come in and to ask them, "Hey, what is this about this Jesus fellow I'm hearing about?" Okay? So we have the wise men seeking Jesus, and we have Herod seeking Jesus. But notice how Herod wasn't seeking Jesus until he was in trouble. Do you get that? He didn't start looking for Jesus until he felt threatened. And when he started looking for Jesus, he started looking for all the wrong reasons. Amen? The wise men were addressing Herod, their earthly king of the Jews. Yet they were telling him they wanted to worship the real king of the Jews. Now just think for a moment. You're standing in front of the king of the Jews, Herod. And you're telling him, "I want to worship the real king." Now, that takes guts. That takes faith. That takes devotion. Some people today won't even tell their co-workers that they're Christians or invite them to church because they're ashamed of Jesus or they're afraid of what someone might say about them. Now, these people were addressing a tyrant, a murderer, a killer. And they were bold enough for Jesus to say, "We want to worship the king of the Jews." Well, who did they think they were talking to? They were talking to Herod, who was the acting king. That took a lot of guts. That took a lot of guts. The wise men did not cower down to man. They stood strong in their faith and their faithfulness. Now, you know, there's a difference between faith and faithfulness. You can love somebody but not stand by their side. We see it all the time in relationships, don't we? When the going gets tough, you don't see the people who said they loved you, do you? But when someone remains faithful to you, they will stand with you no matter what comes your way and no matter what the consequence to them may be. And the wise men knew, look, we got to have more than faith. We got to have more than just believing in Jesus. We have to be faithful to him. Now, the scripture says we are to worship the king, and we're going to remain faithful by worshiping him. Amen? Because it is a relationship that we're talking about. The wise men recognized the differences between Herod and Jesus. See, sometimes we meet people who say, "I'm a good person, and I'm a nice person, and I'm a Christian person." And then we meet people that don't even talk about themselves. But yet we can still discern differences between two individuals. Amen? Amen? That's not judging. We're not talking about judging people. We're talking about using your common sense when you're dealing with people. Some people you can see coming, and some people you don't see coming, right? Usually it's the person who's blowing their own trumpet that you got to watch out for. Amen? And Herod was like, "Oh, I want to worship him too. You guys just go on ahead. Oh, you just go find this Jesus." Okay. Herod was a king by might. In other words, he forced his way to be king. Jesus was king by right. Jesus was king by right. He was the one that was born into the bloodline of King David. He was the one who was fathered by God. He was the one who was sinless. He was the one that was chosen by God. Amen? Herod was full of pride, and he built grand palaces for himself. That's why he was called Herod the Great, because he built all kinds of things in just showing off, "Look what I've got. Look at my kingdom I've done here." So Herod was full of pride, and he built grand palaces for himself. Yet Jesus came in humbleness and was born in a stable. Now imagine the contrast. You have this man who has robbed the people of their money through taxes, propped himself up as king, and he's building all of these grand palaces to show off who he is. And then you have the true king, the humble king, the king that would die for us, being born in a stable among animals, born into a family of poverty. God could have been born into anything that he wanted to as Jesus Christ, but he chose to humble himself. Amen? A true leader will humble himself or themselves and lead the people and not do what Herod was doing to the people. Herod was a king who took lives. Herod was a murderer. Herod was a tyrant. He was an evil, wicked ruler. And Jesus is a king who gave his life and who saves lives. How many of you in here know that Jesus saves your eternal life? How many of you know that God at times has saved your life here physically? You may not even know how many times God has stepped in and said, wait a minute, you were supposed to die. Wait a minute, you deserved to die. But wait a minute, I'm going to save your life, because he gave you a word at the time that you needed it and you changed your direction. Or he brought somebody into your life who cared about you more than you cared about yourself, and God stepped in and he saved you. That's what Jesus does. That's what Jesus means. God saves. This is what God does for us. This is what God wants to do for you. This is what God is doing for you. Herod was no king like that. The wise men recognized the star as a sign from God, whereas Herod had to summon his scribes and the priest to research the scriptures. Now, listen to me. Why were these priests and why were these scribes researching the scriptures to begin with? They should have been looking out for Jesus. They should have been watching for him, but they weren't. They were fakes. They were frauds. They were people that were in it for themselves as well. They should have been able just to tell him, hey, we already know about the king being born. We saw the sign too. We're just too scared to tell you like the wise men were. But that ain't what happened. They had to research it for themselves because they weren't even watching out for God, which tells us that we have to watch out for false prophets. Amen. We have to watch out for people who ain't reading their Bible, but trying to preach it and trying to teach it. Praise God. You should be thanking Jesus right now that your pastor reads his Bible. Amen. If I may say so, I read my Bible. I study my Bible. I speak my Bible. Anybody that knows me and hangs out with me knows I know my Bible. Praise God. These people did it. Shame on them. Whoo. Am I on fire? Bethlehem. Matthew chapter 2. And our verses 5 and 6 says, they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Bethlehem actually means house of bread. Everybody say to your neighbor, house of bread. Bread is good, isn't it? And it can be healthy for you if you get the right kind, right? Amen. So Jesus was born in the house of bread. Bethlehem housed the true bread of life. You get the analogy that God is trying to set up for us? Jesus said, I am the bread of what? The bread of life. Where was he born? In the house of bread. Woo! You see what God's doing in his word? In biblical times, bread was a staple of life. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Jesus was the bread of life in John 6:3-5. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall what? Never thirst. Praise God. What is he talking about? Of course you're going to get physically hungry. Of course you're going to get physically thirsty. But when you come to Jesus, spiritually, you're never going to go hungry again. Unfortunately, there are people that will come to church, but they will not come to Jesus. Unfortunately, there are people that will come to the pastor and come to the minister and come up for prayer, but they will not come to Jesus. Unfortunately, there are people who will come to religion, but they will not come to Jesus. And they leave church, they leave religion, they leave the pastor, they leave the ministers, spiritually hungry, spiritually thirsty, because they did not go to the one who is the what? The bread of life. Only he can fulfill your spiritual needs. Not me, not this church, not your family, not your friends, not your loved ones. Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he was born in the house of bread, Bethlehem. Now listen, breaking of bread together is a symbol of fellowship between believers. They did this in Acts, as we read in Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. So listen, when Jesus' body was broken, bread was broken. The bread of life was broken when his body was broken. And that causes us to be able to fellowship with God, because we partake in the fellowship bread of God, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? There's a lot in the name, isn't it? Bethlehem was chosen very carefully by God to teach us that he was housing the bread of life. Through Jesus, we have peace and fellowship with the Father. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of us here today are looking for that peace. Some of us today are looking for peace in our life, and we can't get it because we think money is going to bring us peace. It's going to take away all of our problems, and you'll be able to sleep better at night. We think that our relationships will bring us peace. If I just had that one person in my life, if God would just bring that one person that would make everything better for me, I would have peace. Some of us think that our problems just going away will give us peace. But let me tell you that if you don't have Jesus, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have fellowship with God. You don't have fellowship with God. You won't get the peace. So your storms can all go away, but your peace will not stay if you don't have Jesus. And my third point is, Herod the Great or Herod the Fake? Amen. The last part of our key verse here is Matthew chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly. Man, watch out for people that do stuff in secret. Watch out. Somebody calls you up and says, hey, I want to meet you somewhere where nobody knows about it. Watch out. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. Diligently. Find him. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. Listen, Herod did not want to worship Jesus. He was lying to them. He was lying. But he knew from what he heard from the scribes and the priests and the wise men that Jesus was born King of the Jews. Now, this is the scary part. How could you have proof staring you in the eyes about who Jesus is and still show contempt for him? How could anyone do that? He's got a set of three different people telling him who Jesus is, and he is still planning on killing him. What a fool. Herod did not really want to worship Jesus. He wanted to find him and kill him. Did you know that there are people out there today? They don't love Christians. They don't care about Jesus. They don't care about God. If they could, they wipe Christians off the map. Now, you're probably thinking locally here in America, but there are some countries that will kill you if they find out you're a Christian. I'm serious. Go to Iran, go into the streets and scream in Iranian that Jesus is Lord and Savior, and see what happens. Not everyone professing a love for God is actually a real Christian. What? Pastor, how could you judge people like that? Oh, come on. Come on, guys. Do you believe everything people tell you? Because if you do, I got some beachfront property in Arizona for you. Amen? I got a heck of a deal for you. You guys know this is the truth. You guys know that this is truth. that not everybody professing a love for God is actually a real Christian. But Jesus has something to say about it. Matthew 7:21. This is Jesus talking. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Do you understand that? When you see somebody living out of the will of God and deliberately disobeying the word of God, and they're living a life of strife, disobedience, and anger, and hate towards other people, do you really believe that they're in the will of God? Do you really believe that those people who talk about Jesus are really with Jesus? Jesus doesn't believe it. Why should we? Now, he put this in the Bible so that we would understand that you got to watch people. You got to pay attention to people. John 6:40 says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now, see, in contrast, Jesus says, but the one who does the will. The one who does the will. Then he says, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him. Now listen, just because someone's looking on to the Son doesn't mean that they're believing in him. I could show you Jesus all day long. It won't make you a Christian, right? So Jesus is saying what the will of the Father is. You have to look upon the Son and you have to believe in him. You have to believe in Jesus. You have to trust in Jesus. That means for everything in your life. Because once you profess Jesus, your life is his. If you mean it, if you believe it, if you trust him. The scribes and the priest showed Herod the proof of who Jesus was, and yet he still showed contempt. There it was. This is what the prophets had to say about this guy. And yes, there was a sign, and yes, he's in Bethlehem, and he believed them because he sent the wise men to go and find him. So he had an idea of what Jesus was, that being a king. But he had no idea of who Jesus is. There are people today who sit in churches just like this one and hear the word of God, and yet they still reject him. These people hear, but they do not accept God's message of salvation through Jesus. They never surrender to Christ. When you truly find out who God is through Jesus Christ, you will drop to your knees and you will weep. And you will ask him to forgive you with all of your heart, with all of your mind, and with all of your soul. Because now you know who you're talking to. Because he is the king. He is the king of me. He is the king of us. He is the king of the world. He is the king of everything. And when you address a king, you should do it in reverence. You should do it in humility. And anything less is not worship. Amen? In conclusion, I want to say, knowing of Jesus is not the same as knowing Jesus. God seeks a relationship through Jesus, not through religion. Now, what I mean by that is simple. You can hear about Jesus, but still not get who he is. You can hear about Jesus and know what you're supposed to do and still live a life of rebellion. Yeah, I know what the Bible says, but I don't believe that that pertains to me. The Bible was written by people, and people are messed up. You can come up with all the excuses that you want to come up with. But deep down inside, God has written his law in every person's heart. It's called a conscience. And deep down inside, we all know right from wrong. And deep down inside, we all know who we are to worship and who we are to surrender to. Yet there are people who will hear the message over and over and over again, and they will surrender to other things rather before they surrender to Jesus. Well, I don't want to be nice to my enemy because they make me feel a certain way. Well, I don't want to say nice things to people because I feel like they don't deserve a nice word from me, or whatever it may be. I just don't want to believe and live my life like a Christian because it's boring. It's too hard. I don't believe God will bless me. He already has through Jesus Christ. If God doesn't do another thing for you the rest of your life, he's done more than you deserve through Jesus Christ. He has forgiven you for all of your past, present, and what? Future sins. You're going to get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever because we know who Jesus is. We know that Jesus is God who saves. Amen. Amen. Amen.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.